Hi, I'm Sophie, Marketplace Risks AI Assistant. Welcome to Series 9 of the Platform Podcast, hosted by Marketplace Risk founder Jeremy Gottschalk. The Platform Podcast features marketplace and digital platform founders and leaders sharing valuable lessons that can be leveraged to help you successfully launch and grow. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not professional advice. For specific issues, please seek an appropriate professional or contact us at info@marketplacerisk.com for a referral.
Welcome to the Platform Podcast. On this episode, I'm joined by Garrett Olson, Head of Insurance and Risk Management at Wolt, one of the largest delivery platforms for food and merchandise operating in 26 countries throughout Europe, Scandinavia, Asia, and the Middle East. Garrett, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Jeremy.
So I hope I introduced you and Wolt well. Can you tell me a little bit more about Wolt?
Yeah, well, one good thing is that it's actually 27 countries now. We went live in Albania this week. So yeah, we're growing and there'll probably be a couple more on the front. But yeah, Wolt is definitely a fast-growing platform organization. And yeah, we're making communities a better place, all the places that we operate in. So it's an awesome organization. We're definitely off the cusp of changing the way that people interact with transactions, as well as kind of even person-to-person transactions.
And so when you and I were batting around ideas to chat about Wolt on the podcast, you brought up a few topics that seamlessly wove together into what I found was a consistent theme, and that is this idea that cross-functional collaboration drives platform integrity. So I'd love to walk through some of the topics and talk about how they're all related. So first, at a high level, you talked about how Wolt positively impacts the communities where Wolt operates by facilitating what you referred to as a tripartite relationship. Can you talk to me more about Wolt's impact and what the tripart relationship is?
Yeah, absolutely. So on the platform, we have three main like end users or groups. One of them is the courier partners, the individuals that are delivering the goods from the merchants. And by them being on the platform, that offers them the freedom to work whenever and kind of more or less wherever they want. The second group is our merchants, and our merchants, this gives them an opportunity to grow their business and provide more access to customers that they may not been able to reach, specifically if they were only a dine-in restaurant or even a very small boutique type of store selling maybe baby items, for example. And then the third group that sits on the platform that is engaging, obviously, with the other two is specifically around the customers. And the customers being on the platform, this just should be bringing joy and simplicity to life, being able to spend more time with their family by removing some of the day-to-day tasks, whether that's grocery shopping or planning what you're going to eat on a Friday night. And all three of these individuals, the different variables change, whether there's weather, whether there's a supply rush because there's a football match that everyone needs a new jersey in front of the stadium. So there's a lot of different interoperability that's happening between that. And one of the things that we believe makes Wolt quite unique is because we've been a technology firm growing and raised in Helsinki, which created a very unique dynamic. The algorithm has created a very harmonious optimization on how each of those parties are working together. And ultimately, this tripartite relationship is based on trust, as well as a great user experience on the platform. And so these three are critical, and the platform is the one connecting the three. And so, of course, we want to make sure that this is a safe and secure environment to either be purchasing items for your family to either eat or to maybe even hang on the wall.
So that's what resonated with me, particularly about platform integrity or trust, and how that facilitates this relationship and then the positive contributions that come from it. So can you talk to me about the importance of trust, especially in a three-sided marketplace, and how it contributes to the success of the relationship?
I mean, absolutely. Like if you go back in time, I would say nobody would think times have changed, but if you would go back maybe 20, 30 years and you parked your car or you got off the metro and you went into a mall, you would have never thought about how strong or how big or how many security guards are there. You would never have per se thought in the front of your mind, hey, when I pay with cash, is this going to be a secure transaction? Is someone going to mug me when I walk out with my brand new, you know, Lego kit, if you're a child, or, you know, some type of very expensive item for your partner, right? So these types of things that were naturally happening in the physical world needed to be digitized in the digital world. And this is really ultimately the world that the platform economy resides in. And that tripartite relationship or more, right? You have banks, you have a handful of others. The three that I mentioned are, of course, the most important for us to be a profitable organization. But those same types of things that we probably took for granted in the past in a very physical world, these are the things that we're consciously trying to bring in, build in through the design of the organization, whether that's security protocols, whether that's identity verification through a transaction of a controlled substance, whether that's actually making sure that the individuals that are delivering these items to your home are actually good individuals that you would want to have close proximity to. So absolutely, trust is ultimately really the foundational component and why you would see specific individuals, whether that's merchants, customers, or couriers in our case, going back to the platforms that they have confidence in, whether that's confidence around the security themselves working on the platform. Hey, I was delivering something and I got assaulted and the platform company does something about it, right? Or the merchant said, hey, the same customer keeps telling me that I have items in my food, which I don't, right? Can you talk to the customer on my behalf? So there is this interoperability that's happening between those three groups. But what's critical is that the platform has also a voice and also control mechanisms that allow that to be a safe environment, whether that's through language or transactions or even emojis.
And you mentioned identity verification and a few others. I was wondering if you could talk about how Wolt goes about building and maintaining that trust, you know, particularly as I mentioned at the beginning, through collaboration internally.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things, right? I mean, one of the areas that we know that is extremely important, and when I go back to this kind of trust and safety or compliance or security by design, it's so much easier to bring those, I would say, topics that usually have friction when you're going through some level of transformation. But when you're an organization that it's, I mean, we're less than 10 years old, we're turning 10 years old this year. And I would say that we're building these things ultimately from day one or day zero, right? And so these are things that are quite critical. Each function obviously has an area of expertise, an area of responsibility. But again, similar to that tripartite relationship that we would expect for the users of the platform, we would expect the exact same for the functions to be working in a collaborative manner, right? And to name a few, you have security department, you have the trust and safety team, you have the customer support, and you also have the product organization, right? So you have multiple functions that are addressing different types of security, compliance, trust, financial and regulatory compliance. All of these groups are working together with a common goal. And these are things that are usually set out in either road mapping exercises, external regulatory conversations, past litigation that has forced those kind of conversations inside the organization. But ultimately, the collaboration is still for the common goal, right? To have a trusted, integrated, and very much high level of integrity so that it brings people back. Because ultimately, platforms are not successful without customer retention.
Sure.
Or merchant retention.
Right. Well, in your case, you've got right those three stakeholder groups that you've got to constantly attract and retain over a long period of time. One of the things that a couple stats that you mentioned previously where that seemed to tie all this together that Wolt customer support teams help your stakeholders in a matter of seconds in all now 27 countries where you operate in the local language, with the goal of resolving the issue in under 3 minutes. That obviously that's impressive. So question, how do you achieve these metrics? And can you chat about how each of the functional areas might contribute to those metrics?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I mentioned, ultimately, we're a tech company, right? And user experience is at the forefront of everything, whether that's the app, right? We actually have three apps, right? There's an app for the merchant, there's an app for the courier, and there's an app for the customer. And all three of those are very much highly rated, if not the top, one of the top highly rated in all of the Apple and Android stores. So it's quite interesting that user experience, whether it's actually the old school physical communication, right, whether it's phone or text or email or et cetera, and or on the flip side, right, where you're essentially having these things embedded automatically, right, inside the app, right, the carousel of items, what's being proposed, distances, costs, et cetera. So user experience is extremely critical. And when you are trying to build a mall in the pocket of every customer, right, what you need to address is those physical world things that I had mentioned earlier. And when you go into a store with an item that was flawed, or you go back to the counter where you ordered your burrito because it's cold, that is solved instantaneously, right? Maybe you still have to wait for the food to be prepared, or you have to go to a different store because they're out of stock. But ultimately, you get a response right away, and you get it in your local language because that's the mall that you're shopping at. And that's the same expectation that we believe our end users. Again, it's double-sided coin. It's not just the customer. It's also the merchant that wants to have things resolved as well in their local language. And so the way that we've been doing this is one, full empowerment into the local markets to drive that metric, right? To keep those situations resolved fairly quickly. There is hundreds of thousands of these that are resolved by just an emoji or a meme. We're sorry, credit's back in your account. And then you have a picture of someone like, you know, praying or some type of Jesus with a very big light behind them or something. It's very hilarious on how they solve a lot of these things without even words. Right. Most of these are digital transactions. So you're easily able to resolve situations in a very short period of time when you take the approach of how would it have been done in the physical world? That's the first thing. And the second thing is the tooling, right? How we're tagging transactions, customers, couriers for positive activities as well as negative activities, how those types of taggings are escalated into making decisions, right, for the future, usually not for that specific case. Most of these things are going to be automated that are still have a level of human intervention. I would say the one area that we are still looking at manually on purpose is fraud. But in a sense, those aren't usually coming in through customer support. But on the customer support side, this is purely because the level of attention and the number of people that we have and the visibility that these individuals have into the type of transaction, the type of customer, merchant, and courier, real time, they're able to solve those things quite quickly.
I will say in the U.S., there are very few platforms that could certainly claim those metrics. But I will say that, you know, one thing for all the things that's said about Amazon, particularly in the US, if you ever have any issue, it's solved really quickly, and really easily, to the point that you almost forgot you had the issue and it doesn't bear on their reputation at all. Obviously, you know, I could be a fraudster and taking advantage. I never have. But the reality is you forget about the bad experience when it's made right quickly and efficiently. Because I think, you know, people understand there are human beings at the end of the day. So I think that that's super, super key, particularly when you make it easy. And it is just an emoji and a credit or something like that. And you're not having to argue and fight and, you know, get on the phone and belabor the issue.
Yeah. And just one thing, Jeremy, which is interesting is because actually this is all within app. So just as it is or should be easy to make the order, it should be easy to say, listen, my food arrived upside down, or my burrito is cold, or actually I'm missing my Coke. And so that to inform us of that issue and for us to resolve it should be as easy or seamless as the transaction itself. And so we actually are customer obsessed, you know, in a way, whether it's copying certain principles of Amazon or trying to be better than Amazon in certain regards, but absolutely the flawlessness and the seamlessness of the resolution should actually leave more of a positive experience for the customer than the issue itself, right? Or meaning the purchase of that should have created some level of joy, but the resolution, the person should walk away being like, I'm definitely going to order from them. They really helped me out.
Absolutely. And anecdotally, I will say that sometimes when there's some small issue with an order, I tend not to even report it because a lot of times they're really quick to give me a credit and it's not really a credit worthy thing. So I'm actually curious. This is for another conversation for another day. I'd be curious for good customers, how much goes unreported or underreported because, you know, there's not necessarily, they just want you to know that, hey, there was an issue with it, but it's fine. I don't need a credit. You know, we can, you know, I'm going to move on with my life, but, you know, out of full transparency, but it's interesting. I sometimes think to myself, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago, I probably would have called the restaurant and said something was cold or something was bad, but it happens so infrequently. And when it does, and I report it, it's resolved so quickly in so many cases that, it leads to, I think, a different reaction than maybe I would expect.
It's a super interesting point because for every single transaction, going back to the user experience, every single time you take an order, after the order has been delivered within a few minutes, more or less you can, because you can skip it, but you are asked a handful of, not questions, but just like, did the food look good? Did it arrive warm? Was it a portion size large? Was the portion size small? And you just click all those. And the next one was, how was the courier? Was he nice? Was he on time? Was he delayed, et cetera? So those are getting caught on every single, the hundreds of millions and transactions that essentially around that to hopefully capture, because when we see that someone writes something that's disappointed and then they don't, we see that population. Are we quantifying it per se? No, because you don't know. But if they wrote in there, yeah, my Coke was missing, this is why I'm giving the restaurant not like positive thing about the portion size, then we are making amends, whether that's automatically or reaching out to the customers. So we have built in this kind of pre-survey where we don't just kind of do this quarterly, but it's actually on a per transactional basis. A lot of people skip the survey too, but sure. In general, given that it's so easy to click like doom, 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 probably is less than you probably putting your passcode in. People just run with it and it's really helpful for us.
That's great. That's great. I mean, as somebody who was a short order cook as one of my first jobs, I would fear getting so much feedback, which is part of the reason why I think I also don't, because, you know, people are working hard and some things are kind of overlooked. But I will say that all of that contributes to me never once thinking about, the cost of ordering food or any issue. Like, I know I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it quickly. And so it's created a different behavior where there's almost no consideration. It's just a knee-jerk reaction. When you want something, you can get it. But we've talked about kind of how to resolve things and things go right. One of your roles, though, is overseeing insurance. I'm curious, you know, obviously sometimes things don't go perfectly and sometimes things can go seriously wrong. And so I wanted to chat about or get your take on how Wolt leverages insurance to further contribute to the platform's integrity and trust.
Exactly. So the integrity of the platform is for the users, right? Whether that's the transactions or the earnings or the business growth, right? But ultimately, we also, going back to the making the communities we operate in a better place, we want to make sure that we are a sustainable organization that has the ability to allow sustainable earnings for couriers, for business to sustainably earn their new revenue that we have kind of agreed that they could get, right, while joining the platform, or the customers to know that a company will still be around if they are having specific issues, or we've given them a lot of credit and said they've never used it. No one likes to hear that the business is out and dang, I should have used all those credits I've been given to me, right? So we are looking, and we have, you know, of course, the normal portfolio of insurances, but there's a handful of insurances specifically that we're quite interested in, which really resonate around the community component, right? So injuries to couriers, these are covered. If you're working on our platform, the moment you log on until the moment or till an hour after you've logged off, you're insured for any type of injury while working on the platform, irrelevant of vehicle type.
Oh, wow.
And that goes from dental chipping your tooth because you went over your handlebars, to fracturing a bone, to an MRI, all the way through, unfortunately, to death in some situations. So we also have, kind of in parallel with that, because the couriers are the ones out in the streets, in addition to the injuries that they sustain, sometimes they're just unfortunate accidents. Sometimes a door gets closed too hard. Sometimes the courier essentially gets stuck in an elevator, right, and can't get out, and it creates an alarm, and there's a fee that goes with the alarm. So there's a lot of liabilities that are put onto the community, and we want that to be as minimal as possible. There is just, it's life. Things and mistakes happen, whether it's the courier to blame or it's Wolt, or even if it's the third party in the street. We have protections that is extended to courier partners on our corporate policy, because we have a very broad wording, and we are essentially making sure that all types of individuals working on the platform have some level of liability coverage, excluding motor vehicles, right? They are responsible for their own liabilities while operating the vehicle. And then last but not least, which I think is extremely important, going back to the integrity component as well, none of these individuals would have success or joy if the platform was down. And so, of course, the cyber and privacy are extremely critical coverages in the case of an unfortunate incident of probably more or less. It's likely not going to be Google or AWS, but that does happen. But it's predominantly one of the other service providers, whether that's a data organization, a GPS provider, a handful of other types of organizations that we partner with that may not be as good as they say, or something, again, just happens maliciously or by accident. And we have these protocols in place and insurance mechanisms to bring the platform back to whole, so that all of these individuals can be up and running probably within hours. The security team would probably hold me to that and say days, but I would say, like, ultimately, I don't think it would take us more than a day to get up. But yeah, if there's any insurance companies like listening, like, don't hold me to that. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be very quickly. So those are really the three areas that we're really addressing. There's, of course, a handful of others that we insurances that we buy, but the health and safety of the couriers, the health and safety of the platform, and the health and safety of the communities we operate in. Those are three areas that we're really addressing insurance in a bespoke way. Those are based off of Wolt risks.
It's super interesting because, you know, for a platform to operate now in 27 countries, it says a lot for the integrity of the company, I think. And it's no secret how a lot of platforms have operated in the US, kind of, I would say, from the reverse, where they come to this reality, but they didn't start here. And you know, I think that it's really interesting to see, and I think it certainly contributes to the growth and the ability to operate in so many countries and so many cultures simultaneously. And so, you know, like I said before, I love a theme, especially love when it has to do with companies doing the right thing. And I really appreciate you joining me on the Platform Podcast, sharing insights on one of the most important topics and something that needs more focus. And one more question before we go, if you have any final words or thoughts you want to share.
Well, if you're in one of the 27 markets, definitely try Wolt. Okay. If you need a discount in one of these new countries, reach out to me. I'll try to hook you up. So that's the first thing. Help us grow and help us still stay around. But the second thing is that we are a Scandinavian kind of organization or from the Nordics originally in Helsinki. And there's a lot of principles that have been embedded by the founder. It's still a co-founder led, even following the acquisition by DoorDash, right? And so because of these specific principles that have been set out, whether it's the values of the employees and the values that we extend, we believe that security by design and trust and safety by design, that is one of the best ways to make sure that people can believe in your product and use your services. And so that is something that's just foundational to ourselves, and we'll take it to the grave.
Garrett, I love it. Thank you very much for joining me.
Super cool. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you for tuning into the Platform Podcast. You can check out more episodes at marketplacerisk.com, along with information about our conferences, virtual events, and resources designed to help marketplaces and digital platforms successfully launch and grow. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Marketplace Risk to stay up to date on upcoming programs, events, and important news.